In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time to kick out the final hour of the show. Brought to you, as always, by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They gave us a little gift package the other day, and I felt like drinking all of them last night.
I'm wearing Pelican gear tomorrow, so don't.
Okay. You don't want to double up? You don't want to double dip the chip?
It's a little weird when we match.
That is true. It's presented by Pelican Brewing's Hard Hops. Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer. And experience your hops differently. We're talking NBA draft with the homie, the man, Mike G. Rich. Mike Richmond, host of the Locked On Blazers podcast, daily podcast, talking Portland Trail Blazers. Mike, where did you have Yong Hanson going in your mock draft, and how thrilled are you that he's going to be in a Blazer uniform next year?
Yeah, I had Yong Hanson at 47 on my big board where I map out the top 225 draft candidates every single year. His value slots right below Ryan Kalkenbrenner, and I don't know, guys. I don't know. This is a stunner.
Had you ever heard of him before?
Ever, yes. So he had like a good combine. Like he played pretty well in the combine. So it was one of those like, hey, this guy played in the combine. And I said, okay, don't care. You know, like I knew his name though. I know. but sure.
Okay. So look, I caught the pod, did a great job. You're 100% right. We texted about it. I'm glad you said it. Like they're swinging for the fences. They're calling their shot. But I need to ask you, I'm just sitting at a point. I understand there's probably another trade coming and it has to involve one of the five centers. We know which two it won't. Explain the team building, or are you as confused as we are today with that pick?
Okay, I'm glad you gave me an out at the end. I can't explain the team building. I have no idea what they're doing. I would say this move in conjunction with the Drew Holiday trade are impossible to make sense of together, right? They have to be, you have to think about them in separate buckets. That doesn't mean either of them are right. They both could be wrong on separate accounts. But if you want to think about them separately, the Drew Holiday trade says we're going to be good, we want to be good, and this draft pick says we believe in our development and our scouting, and because we're really good or something, we can develop this player even with a crowded roster in front of him, and then eventually it'll pay off because we nailed this pick so hard.
We're talking with the homie Mike G. Rich. Mike Richmond, the host of the Locked On Blazers podcast, daily podcast. It's one of those picks, Mike, that you're not wrong. They put their nuts on the table, for lack of a better phrase, and said, like, this is it. Is this it for them, though? Like, is this their last stand? There's an ownership change that's coming in the next 9 to 12 months or however long it's going to take. And I'm not saying you fire him if the guy has a bad 3 weeks of his first NBA career. But like from a scouting department, evaluating talent, I already had concerns about them going into the draft because I don't think they have a great track record over the last 3 years. And now you do this on draft night. Like this kind of has to be it, right?
Yeah, I would say that this is not a group that has earned like the obvious benefit of the doubt, right? Like I think they've been average to slightly below, right, in the places that they've drafted at. Based on where they've picked, they're probably about an average drafting team. If you're about average at it and then you make a completely outside the box pick, I think you put your reputation on the line. This is the type of move that either proves your scouting prowess or lays out the rope with which to hang you. Like that's how I view it. Certainly, like I even think I don't know about the ownership thing because the Drew Holiday trade seems to be to me a little bit odd because it's like, okay, we're going to win this. We're going to win this year to like prove to the presumptive new owners or whatever that we are successful. And this trade says like, we're going to build for the long term and give ourselves a window. It's like, they're not, like I said, I think you can justify them on their own, but they're very hard to justify together. And considering the context of the team, it's just all very weird. It's all very weird.
What am I to make of their views of Donovan Klingon with this? Because Joe basically said if he was in the draft last year, Yong Hanson, they would have taken him, and they did, and they took Donovan Klingon, and now he's in the draft, so they take him at 16, even projected late. What are we to make of the organization's view of Klingon?
Well, I mean, Ryan Rupert was a lottery, rated as a lottery pick when they had him too, and so was Chris Murray. So I am in the business of not trusting what they say on draft night. I would say that if they were willing to make this move and this pick, if he was the guy, it suggests that they really believe in him. To the point where if you would like to offer them, you know, some grace here, you say you believe in them that this is a starting caliber player in the league, and that's a good problem to have, right? Because you want to draft talent. If you don't want to give them grace, you could say, why did they draft a backup? Or you could say, why did they draft a backup in the previous season at 7? Like, I don't know. I just don't know what to make of it. I don't think I know enough about Young to feel comfortable with this pick. And everyone else who does this professionally is like, wow, this is a shocker.
Well, people don't like fence sitting, but I said yesterday, I'm like, I got to wait. I'm giving an incomplete on the Drew trade. I understand the negatives of it. I understand the perspective of leadership and, you know, established veteran who's won. I get both sides of the argument. I wanted to see what other moves they were going to make and then assess and say whether I like it or not. That pick, and then Joe, I thought, my takeaway was, Chauncey said the big P word at the end of the season. Playoffs. And then Joe last night was like, playoffs, you know, we hope we get better. I think Joe kind of tempered the playoff expectation a little bit last night. So it just makes it more puzzling, and I think, in fact, right now, even without a trade having happened with somebody, it kind of makes the Drew trade look worse.
Yeah, I don't know how you trade for Drew Holiday and then say, like, yeah, we hope to be, you know, if we make the playoffs, that'd be great, but we can be patient. He's 35 years old.
Right.
Like, you can't do both. You cannot do both. I think the way to judge the Drew Holiday trade is if this was a move, you don't make that move if you're not trying to win. I can understand maybe not publicly saying that you're trying to win, but your moves have to reflect that, and this move didn't reflect that. So, like, again, you cannot take these what they've done this week in conjunction with each other and make logical sense of it. You can offer hope that they make sense in two different directions, but you can't make it. There's no way to logic this out.
On that note, we're talking with Mike Richmond, host of Locked On Blazers daily podcast. Go find it wherever you find your podcasts. You know, they have 5 centers on the roster right now, and I think we're all under the assumption that some of these guys are going to get traded. But I also did that at the guard position for the last couple of years. Like, hey, they use back-to-back draft picks on guards. They're going to trade Anthony Simons, right? Right? And then they didn't. Then they had Malcolm Brogdon, and it just was a total logjam at that position. Now they finally have traded Ant, but in return brought in another guard. Can you make sense to me how the center trades go down? Like, DeAndre Ayton, I believe, is on an expiring deal, making north of $30 million a year. Usually expirings are attractive, but I don't see Portland being super excited about bringing on a big contract in return. They just did that with Drew Holiday. Williams hasn't stayed healthy ever in his career. I don't even know if he has a healthy leg left. Like, who's taking that on? I have a hard time seeing where the pathway is. Do you just let him play it out, let Ayton walk in free agency, but then your new 16th overall pick's not going to play a single second? Like, how do you parcel through that in your mind?
Ding, 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 ding. Like, yeah, what do they do? It's like the way that you trade expirings is you take on money the way that traded Ant and took on some money, right? You say, okay, right, this is a talented player in Drew Holiday, but the back half of this contract's a little onerous. That's the value. Are they going to do that again? Are they going to play that out again with DeAndre Ayton, except at like the $40 million bar? I don't know. I don't know what you do. Like, I think there's a world where they're a little bit better this season, but at what sort of developmental costs are they a little bit better? Mm. And if they're not a little bit better, have they, the moves they've made inform it being okay if they're a little bit worse? I remain here that, you know, we're not even through the entire draft. There's obviously a lot of things to go. And I think, like, in both of our worlds, we have to react to stuff in real time and then be like, oh, well, that makes more sense. Yeah. This better make some sense, right? This better make some sense. I feel like if we, you know, if you have me back on July 15th and we're like into summer league, if it's still incredibly puzzling, I think the period of offering grace for like, well, maybe they're going to figure it out is over. Like, I think this is like in the next 2 weeks, the sort of direction, roster clarity, all that stuff needs to be pretty clear. Or then you just, it just feels muddled. And like, how much further do you want to go with everything feeling so muddled? It's just a new version of muddled.
Yeah. Joe looked good, though, last night, didn't he? Looked pretty in shape. Shirt looked good. I thought he looked good last night.
I can't pull off that shirt. My nipples are too big.
Yeah, I do think he looks like he's been able to take advantage of a long time without having to attend NBA basketball games.
He's got a lot of time to work out in his free time. Has there ever been a bigger spotlight? Maybe this is a dumb question, but I don't care. Has there ever been a bigger spotlight on a guy when Summer League kicks off than how this cat, Chinese Jokic, is going to look on night one?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be popular, I think, if nothing else. I do feel like if this dude was taken 35th in the draft, I would be on this show. Well, you probably wouldn't have me on to talk about a second round pick, but you know what I'm saying.
No, we were going to. No matter what, we were going to.
We love you, Mike.
Yeah.
I would be kind of hyped about his like player profile, right? He's like a big, slow dude with awesome passing chops who's gigantic, broke into the Chinese league as a teenager. He was kind of like found by the sort of Chinese basketball world as like a third grader. They're like, yo, this guy's going to be the next guy. If they had taken him at 35, I'd be kind of all in. I'd be like, yes, I can't wait to watch him in summer league. I can't wait to see him do fun stuff. But at 16, it's like, wow, whoa, what is this? Like, I feel like some of it is just the level of investment in him. It makes, there's pressure to get it so right. You know, while the rest of the world will not notice my man Young at Vegas, boy, will our little corner of the country be dialed in on how productive he is.
So we're going to be Yang banging this season, right?
Oh, yeah. I think, we're going to have to all agree on what we call him and this is a challenge with Chinese nationals, because I don't think the Western brain can wrap our head around what we're supposed to call this gentleman. So, yeah, I'm excited to come up with a nickname. Am I part of the Yang gang and going to be Yang banging? We'll see. But I'm open to the idea.
I also wanted to apologize publicly for just randomly showing up at your house. I think I made your wife uncomfortable, and that was a mistake by me.
That was the same day you showed up at my house.
Yeah, it was.
You said, I got to go to Richmond's. I said, why are you randomly showing up at Mike Richmond's house, dude? You don't just show up unannounced.
Well, I don't think I talked to him since I did that.
Don't be that guy.
And I didn't even see him that day, so it was like, oh, hey.
How uncomfortable was that, Richmond?
Should we provide context or just leave it there?
I think we just leave
showed
it
up at my house and made my wife uncomfortable.
I think we just stop it right there.
Was there peering going on?
Well,
was he looking in windows?
He's got me, guys. It was a great chat.
I heard noises. I didn't peer. I just stood on the doorstep. And I'm like, I'm going to be patient, not be a weirdo.
Okay. All right. Mike Richmond. He's the host of the Locked On Blazers daily podcast. And you can go find it wherever you find your podcast. You're the homie. Always great chatting with you. Things are going great in Rip City. And let's do this again soon.
Yeah, everything makes sense. Appreciate you guys.
There you go, Mike Richmond, the whole meeting. Pelican Brewing Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. Deep breaths, everybody. Deep breaths.
Yang bang, baby.
I mean, I'm genuinely asking the question, like, you did this to me for 2 years, and you ended up being right, and they finally did it.
What is it?
But I had a lot of the, like, they have to trade Ant, right? And you would always retort to me and be like, no, they don't. And be like, but they finally did. I mean, you were right.
I was right for a while.
They should have traded him 2 years
ago.
They're
going to trade. They're going to make a trade for us with
so
one of the centers.
How does it work? Explain it to me.
I'm not the general manager.
They're really going to go into the season with five centers?
So I just am trying to think this out in my head. Trading DeAndre Ayton doesn't make sense because you have to bring salary
maybe
back
on. Maybe
it's
not Ayton. Rob Will is hurt, and WAP is a G League guy.
So who's
so maybe it's... Oh, I guess Rob Will might be the guy.
Robert Williams.
He's not
going to
play.
When's he going to be healthy? How long is he out for?
That's for another team to figure out. I don't know.
What are you trading him for? Why would anybody trade for him?
You really think they're going five centers?
I mean... Does any of this make sense?
Sandwich bet? Well, we have a listener really upset that we don't like the pick.
Yeah, I'll sandwich bet it.
You think they have five centers?
I think four. Can I do over under?
4.5.
Yeah. Because they'll send Duop Reed down to the G League. That's their answer. Like, he won't be on
back and forth.
Let's sandwich bet that Klingon,
okay.
Chinese Jokic,
yes.
DeAndre Ayton,
and
Robert Williams are not traded on opening night.
I'll sandwich bet that.
Okay.
I think we got three.
You think we got three of them?
I don't know which one the three are. I know two.
Somebody's on the way out.
Yang Bang and Klinger. but it's between Aiton
now,
and Rob.
Now, which section
Lowe.
Of Moda Center will the Yang Gang be in?
We have to have a section, right?
Yeah. There'll be a section for the Yang Gang.
I argue you should put the Yang Gang in the Sprite Rip City row.
Ooh. That's just one row, though, right?
Oh, I mean,
I need a whole section. Yang Gang.
You want a whole section?
I want a section of Yang Ganging.
I'm going to tell you right now. They make that jersey, whatever that cat chooses number-wise.
Yeah, do we have a number yet? Have they announced that yet?
I haven't seen. That's usually at the introductory press conference when he
that's
gets over
be,
here.
Is there a number that he chooses that gets you more excited about the pick?
Certainly. If he's like, what's a number that's
really
nondescript?
What if he
really
asks for 23?
I might be all the way
47.
In.
47?
AK-47. The Chinese AK.
53? Like, what?
Yeah, there's got to be a number that's really nondescript. You're like, no.
62?
No.
What are we doing? Chinese Jokic? I have a better number than that. Let's get to, speaking of the jersey sales, the conspiracy theories that came out of last night, because they exist.
Oh, we don't need to do that.
Oh, we're doing it, baby, and we're doing it next.
I loved one of them.
Let's Yang Bang next on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. 821. Everybody's handling this news yesterday rationally, level-headed.
I mean, you can think that the Yang Banger is going to be banging and clanging, but I just don't also see how are we not having a full scope perspective here of that was a very puzzling decision.
Yeah.
The general manager told you himself that was a reach.
Yes.
No pundit had that at all close to happening.
No.
That doesn't mean it can't be good.
No.
And the smartest people in the league, or at least the ones that have had the most success, did not choose to do that.
No.
So
no.
You can think that this guy does hit because they scouted for 2 years. I also don't know how you don't see all sides of it and say, I'm optimistic, but totally understand how it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, I think the bigger roster picture is a massive question that continues to linger, and that's been my biggest issue over the last couple of years. You have a foot in one body of water and a foot in the other. We want to win now, but we want to develop, but you're not developing because you're trying to. It just has been weird. Now you're doing the same thing where you trade for Jrue Holiday, and I was fine with that deal because it got rid of Simons. I was supportive of it yesterday. And then you draft a guy who's a developmental project at center with the 16th overall pick when you had the 11th overall pick. When there might have been somebody on the board who could have helped you right away, and you have five centers on your roster right now. Like, it's a lot of legitimate questions to be asking. And the other thing that I would just caution people to not do, and I understand that it's difficult because there's a portion of people out there that want to be optimistic and think this is the time that it all works out for us. And man, I would love for you to be right. I would love for this guy to turn into Chinese Jokic in 3 years and win an MVP and lead us to an NBA title, man. I'm praying that you are right.
The whole arena would be a Yang Bang session.
We would all be Yang Banging at the Rose Garden, and I would love every second of it. I love the immediate reach to the one or two rare examples that work and say, well, see, nobody saw that coming. Like, I've seen Jokic brought up a lot today, not just because we drafted Chinese Jokic, but because he was drafted during a Quesarito commercial.
Well, he was comped last night with a quote.
He was a second-round pick, man. He was drafted when they weren't even showing the draft live when he was picked.
Yeah, Quesarito.
Nobody paid attention to it until he turned into a good player. And if you take this guy in the middle of the second round, is anybody coming on today and criticizing the pick? You took a flyer on a guy, 7 foot from China, can move a little bit, can pass, shoot. Like, yeah, what the hell? Same thing we did. Did anybody criticize Ryan Rupert getting drafted in the second round? We don't have opinions on second round picks. They're literally meaningless in the NBA.
They're crap. I mean, it's a roll of the
dice. It's a slop, whatever. Like, but 99% chance you don't hit on something, and then the 1% chance you do, it's great. Like, that you cannot compare him to Jokic. This was the middle of the first round, and you traded down from 11. You want to give me Giannis? A guy who was a 6'9 athletic freak who then happened to grow 4 more inches and add 50 pounds of muscle. Like, nobody saw necessarily that coming, but he also had the physical development that followed being drafted. This guy's 7'1". He's not going to grow 4 more inches.
Yeah, I just, you know, when the general manager himself says it's a reach, and then I also think it's an underrated takeaway because it's a lot about the player today. I kind of thought he tried to temper expectations.
He absolutely did.
I think he understands how hard it's going to be. Maybe injuries fall their way and 4 teams get the injury bug and here we go. We play good defense and we ugly it up and we're in a conversation of like, hey, but if that doesn't happen, your best case scenario is probably back end of the play-in.
9 or 10 spot.
Yeah, I like what the Spurs did. The Spurs weren't even in the play-in last year. The playoffs. Yeah. Like, I like this. I think Spurs could be improved.
Yeah.
You know, like, Utah's not going to suck forever. I think Utah said last night, all right, this is our start. Now, whether that matters next year, they might still be horrible. The Pelicans are a disaster of an organization, so God bless them for being in the West.
That we can agree on. Everybody else, though? Like
Memphis. I don't know what Memphis is.
Is John Moran healthy and playing?
Well, that's the big question. Is he healthy and playing?
One of the best defensive players in the league on the roster, too?
Yeah, they do. They got some stuff for sure. I think Joe understands what that climb is in the West and how difficult it is. And I think Joe Cronin told you yesterday, I hope we can get there. I hope we can be in a play-in, whereas I think Chauncey wants this to be a little further than it is. And so it's slight difference. We heard from the coach at the end of the season, and last night we heard from the general manager who said, yeah, I hope. Yeah. I hope we take that step.
The conspiracy theories last night were all over the map. Now, this was, of course, a draft where Cooper Flagg was the first overall pick in a year in which Luka Doncic was traded from Dallas to L.A.
Dude, did you see Nico's quote, by the way, derail this?
What did he say? That just pissed me. Watching that made me. I knew that they had the number one pick, and then it was kind of out of sight, out of mind, because it's such a foregone conclusion. And then I was just reminded of how dumb all of this is.
You want me to make you mad?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm already pissed off.
So the Dallas Mavericks had a 1.8% chance to get the number one pick. It happens, okay? They draft Cooper Flagg yesterday. They show the Dallas Mavericks war room. Everybody's celebrating. Nico, in his draft press conference, said, fortune favors the bold.
Wow.
Basically, like, yeah, I knew that would all happen.
There's a middle finger to the entire media.
You don't help the draft conspiracy nuts with that quote, by the way.
No, no, you don't, Bob.
I knew if I traded him, I'd get to know more.
Fortune favors the bold.
Because, yeah, we knew when you traded you were going to hope to lose enough to get into more.
I saw some of our friends in Dallas who were even tweeting yesterday, like, landing Cooper Flagg is such a moment. Like, that's huge. He's one of the biggest prospects we've seen, the great white American hope. I saw a lot of people saying, like, this sucks that Nico was the one that made the pick. Like, they were almost poo-pooing it. Like, yeah, dude, we're excited that we got Cooper Flagg, but the fact that that's the guy that gets to make the pick, how has he not been fired?
Yeah, I mean, look.
So, conspiracy theories already existed for Dallas getting the number one overall pick. Two conspiracy theories have taken off. Let's see how much credit we put in them. The Blazers draft a Chinese player. I believe the third Chinese player ever taken in the first round. My stats are correct on that? Yao Ming, obviously.
The Oracle does not know.
You don't know?
He had a hops game.
I'll see if I can Google it. And I believe there was a Bucks player, Yi Jingling. Is that his name?
Does that sound familiar, right?
I think it was
Lee?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I remember, I had a buddy rooting real hard for him.
Yeah, he's a Bucks guy. I remember him going to the Bucks, and it was after Yao Ming, and it was like, oh, it's kind of a big
deal. It was
when
they wore those Christmas jerseys.
Yeah.
Those dark red with the red.
He's only the third Chinese-born player. So Yao Ming and Yi Jingling. And I think Lee, maybe. Either way. So
is
there
it L-I?
L-I-A-N.
Oh, I think it was Lee, but I might be wrong.
Either way, third Chinese player ever drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. And they're hitting at a 50% clip. So
Yao Ming was great.
Yao Ming had a good career. We could have the next Yao Ming.
I think Lee was a role guy for a little bit.
I don't remember how long he played, but I'll pull up his stat line.
Wasn't amazing, but 50% hit rate.
So the theories are... The conspiracy theories are either A, he played, by the way, 5 years in the NBA.
Okay.
He was out at the age of 24. He averaged 2 points per game.
That's longer than the average.
He had one year where he scored 12 a game, New Jersey. Not bad. That either A, you're trying to drive up the value of your franchise by drafting a Chinese player in the first round, and the amount of jerseys and media attention that you will get from that will be massive. The following of this guy at the combine from the Chinese press was insane.
Is he going to have a top 10 jersey?
He legitimately might, dude. Like, worldwide? Not in the States, he won't, but worldwide?
Yeah, worldwide,
legitimately might. I'd be a top 5 jersey sale. I'm not kidding.
Cool.
So there's that, driving up the value and the interest internationally in your team. Does that make you more money in the sale? And then B, there was one other team that was connected closely with him in the draft. Who was that team?
The Nets.
Who owns the Brooklyn Nets?
Chinese
billionaire. Interesting. People wondering... Is there a buyer that's in place that wants to make a purchase on the team saying,
I saw that one.
You're drafting my Chinese bro here, 16th overall.
Joseph Tsai. That's right.
That's who owns the Brooklyn
Nets. Because they had 5 picks, so you saw their war room a lot.
They had 5 picks. They used all 5 of their picks last night. Did we put any Any weight on either?
No,
theory?
I don't think, no.
This is just Joe Cronin and Mike Schmitz identifying Chinese
I don't think there's any semblance of a theory any way, shape, or form.
I think they just like him point blank. They love him, in fact, and they said, we'll take the draft stuff, which, again, we said this earlier, good trade out of 11. I like what you got in that trade. Would have liked Coward, but okay. And they took a reach, and it was a reach of a guy that they really were in love with.
You mean...
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
First on the Fan.
That's who you wanted right there, huh?
First on the Fan.
The guy you thought maybe they were going to take 11th overall.
How many games would Colin Coward have to play before he got a random lucky basket in a game? Would he score in any one moment?
No. I mean, in an 82-game season, like he's got to make a shot. There would be a moment he would be left
lazy
open.
Lazy defender.
He'd cherry-pick at some point.
He'd cherry-pick.
Well, I don't know if that would be the right approach.
I mean, nobody would guard him.
Cherry-picking, he's just getting stuffed.
So as long as he's got a point guard that can drive, draw the defense, and kick to him, he'd knock down an open shot at some point.
Is he good at bat? Do you know if he's good at basketball?
I mean, how many threes is even a bad basketball player take before they make one of them?
You hear any
NBA three? Yeah, they...
Do you ever hear any stories of Colin playing local?
Is he ever in the media tournaments, the 3-on-3 tournaments?
Not that I...
No.
No. Huh? I don't remember anything.
We almost drafted Colin Coward last night.
I don't know if she made that mistake, but we make mistakes all the time.
What could have been?
Colin Coward.
I mean, that was... That's a whole other side note of it. We got to go. We're long.
The hats were pretty interesting.
Yeah, and SVP ranted last night. You know what? Let's come back and talk about this. Okay. Just all of the presentation that goes into it. I am appreciative of the NBA that they don't give you the NFL sob story every, like, three picks where I have to have somebody come out and, like, distract me for 5 minutes. I'm like,
well, that's the nice thing about 5 minutes in between
picks.
They just
go. It's like, it's a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Streams faster. They had the one thing where they honored the Dr. J and some of the other black players for, that was cool.
Yeah,
like,
that was great.
Little
Oscar
moment
was
in
there.
Yeah, like, that was awesome. So I give them credit for that. There's a lot of stuff that they get wrong on NBA draft night. I want to talk about that next. Some other takeaways from the night of the NBA draft.
There's a guy I felt bad for, and he might not have wanted anything to do with it, but there was a guy I felt really bad for yesterday.
Oh, okay.
With the coverage.
Who did you feel bad for? Yeah. There was a hot mom. We had a hot mom last night.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The red dress?
You want to talk about hot mom? That was a hot girlfriend, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Chloe Kitts.
Oh, okay.
South Carolina.
There was a hot mom.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about the hot mom. Well, listeners got beef with you today, Sprague.
What did I do?
Hey, you're just a big old idiot over there.
With what?
Yeah, this is the Fan text line. You can interact with us, 503-864-6326. I know today's busy. I got serious beef with Sprague. During Statter's story yesterday.
Oh, no.
He claimed the Gateway Shopping Center was Park Rose territory.
Oh.
I grew up on 107th between Gleason and Halsey, literally two blocks away. That is 100% David Douglas territory, and I demand a public apology.
Nah, David Douglas is a bunch of bitch.
We got a Scots Broncos.
We do. We got
war.
A beef going on.
David
now,
Douglas
man.
And Park Rose, legitimately.
Is that like an actual rivalry?
Well, they beat us in everything when everything, I was there, okay. But like we hated them.
Yeah, you hate each other.
The funniest
same
thing
same conference, right?
Yeah, it was Mount Hood, and we're separated by blocks. Like we're right next to each other. That is funny that somebody.
That's our territory. That's our block.
Park Rose ran that facility.
Don't be stealing our territory.
When Park
here.
Rose came in, David Douglas got nervous. They like, moved out of the way. Oh no! Don't make eye contact.
What did we make of Dylan Harper's mom last night?
Well, good for Ron Harper.
Yeah,
when your dad's a former NBA player,
I know,
what do you expect?
Are we surprised?
Try that.
You were?
What?
Ron Harper was in the NBA for a long time.
No, I wasn't surprised by it at all. She just stole the show.
My take? You want a hot take from the draft?
Yeah. What do you got?
Now, I know where your attention was during the draft.
Sure. I mean, I was so depressed. These are the kind of things that I tried to cling
I want you to.
To
hold this one, because this one may age the worst of all the takes given today. I think Dylan Harper can be the best player in that draft.
I mean, I don't think that's that hot of a take.
Okay. Number two pick.
Yeah. Second overall.
Flag was the sure thing.
Hot take would be Chinese Jokic turns into Chinese Jokic. That's a hot take. He's actually the next Jokic. Just the Chinese
Let's
version
be real
of him.
Here, okay?
Averages a triple-double,
averages
wins
a 29
MVP,
points, 11
leads the Blazers to their first championship
42%
in 50 years.
I know Joe was alerted of that Jake Fisher quote in the war room. Yeah. Joe was thinking what when that got out? Like, no.
I think part of him was probably, if they're that in love with this cat, they should probably be excited about
but
that.
But you know, see, I don't
because everybody you wanna... saw him drafted and said, "I've never heard of this guy before."
See, I don't think you want that public. I think internally you're thinking we could have Jokic.
No, we got Jokic.
But then it's leaked by another exec, and I think it was somebody from Denver.
We might have to get Fisher on the show.
Oh, good luck with that.
Is he tired to get now?
It's turned into a...
Like, do you realize what you've done to our fan base for the next 2 years? It doesn't matter how bad that guy is.
Those
there's
guys
a percentage.
Are still all busy today with the second round.
Oh, I'm not saying now.
Might have a no-ceilings guy tomorrow. I'm in contact, so we'll see.
Get their further thoughts. SCP had a rant at the end of it about, it's so dumb that we have to wait for the trade stuff to go through. And we all pretend as if the Blazers are drafting Colin Cowherd and that, you know, Memphis is drafting Chinese Jokic. Like, why do we do that?
Because the NFL got rid of this. The NFL said, no, the trade has already been leaked. It's going to happen. We're going to approve it. So we would just say, there's been a trade. The Eagles with the trade.
They're now on the clock.
Yeah.
And they're taking a pick.
Well, the NFL, the way you have the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, you have to get all of the financial trade parameters right for the trade to count.
They're going to. Dude, they have
in the NFL, you can clean it up after the fact.
I mean, it's just weird because I think you're trading.
If the NBA could fix one thing, there's many things that could be fixed about the draft. If they could fix one thing, it is announcing we have a trade. This pick is now being made by whoever. If they can figure out how to do that, it would make the draft a lot better.
But let me push back a little bit. There's no math required for the Memphis-Portland trade. It is a first, 2 seconds, and a swap.
Yeah.
Not a player there.
I don't know.
It was a bad look. And it's like they're super delayed.
Well, and it's also just robbing the player of like a famous photo. Like those are the weird
he's
ones.
Be in
like,
a Blazer
what if these
Howard?
Guys end up being great players for their organizations? You look back on draft night and you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Or you got to Photoshop it in.
Yeah, because Young was in a Grizzly hat.
He
on
was
the stage,
in a Grizzly hat on the stage.
But then they gave him a Blazer hat when he got off the stage.
So what's the difference? Why don't you just give it to him on the stage?
Yeah, they got
to
find a way.
He did all the press availability as a Blazer draft pick.
That was dumb.
It's very dumb.
I also just overall.
Now, the other thing. Thing is, if you want them to do that, they might have to extend the time so at least somebody in the league can say, yep, nope, that works.
Shams puts it out. They go, hey, Shams put it out. All right, we're good.
Yeah.
It could be that simple.
Any other takeaways from last night we didn't get to?
It was a terrible show.
How bad the coverage is.
I mean.
I'm glad I didn't have any sound on. I was, you know.
Gavone and Marks are really valuable to me. And I like Jay Billis on that desk. I was okay with Andrea Carter. I know she does more women's hoops, but like. She knows college basketball. She was fine.
They had McNutt out there doing the interviews.
Didn't think I was great. I like McNutt in a different area.
In a different setting?
Yeah. I'm not about McNutt.
It's really
interview.
Hard to do those interviews.
I'm not saying
I mean,
it's
just mass chaos. They're hugging
like everybody
all their
was
family.
Crying last night. Everybody was tearing up.
Yeah.
Well, they became millionaire family.
That, I know. I'm just, but usually there's a few criers. I felt like everybody cried last night.
You only
night.
Got 2 minutes with them, and...
Other than the flying canibals.
You know who got shortchanged yesterday?
Who got shortchanged?
I understand the story is that Cooper Flagg's mom was a college basketball player. So was his dad. Not even a simple even look at his dad in the interview after he got picked. It was all mom, 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 which should be mom first. But not one question to dad?
Yeah, that was funny. You did have the Knipple brothers all up there, too. And then McNutt tried to ask him a question, and none of them wanted to answer it. And they were like, who would win a backyard game or whatever?
Well, she didn't specifically ask the question to
she's
one person.
Slowly sliding the microphone down the line, and nobody's saying anything.
Did anybody flip over at all to NBA TV's coverage?
I did not. We had somebody tweet us and say the best broadcast was like a ESPN Plus streaming one.
There were streaming ones.
I think Windhorse was on it, some other people. And so there were options.
I was watching and listening to the No Ceilings guys. I like them a lot. So had that up on my social media while the TV was going on. And, you know, the broadcast options were Screamin' A. Smith or Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
Put them on the same channel so that then I can avoid the other one. Like, there should be a low intelligence show where you yell and people don't know what they're talking about.
Sure.
And then a high intelligence show where it's like Bobby Marks and Gavone and Bob Myers and
crew.
Yes.
I just don't get why Gavone's not more.
I don't know
why. He's the Mel Kiper for their hoop stuff, but he's not really featured.
He's their draft guy. I don't get it.
This is exactly what he does all year.
I get Mel Kiper yelling at me about Shador Sanders for 7 straight hours.
I mean, there's a possibility, just to like help us here, there's a possibility that if Gavone's on that main table, they're not just doing a little Gavone Young Hansen blurb. he's talking about it with Billis.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. I just didn't feel like they were talking about team fits, and it was more just like, I don't know. It was less than.
I agree with you there, Bob.
Didn't like it.
Agree with you there. Let's wrap it up. Answer some poll questions. Put a pin on this bad boy. What a day it's been. Final thoughts next on The Fam.
Give me his averages. Rookie year averages. What's your best line guess? Because he's going to play a lot in the G League. We know that.
It's a win now pick.
Yang Bang stat line year one is
2.7, 3.9. 2 points.
Assists or rebounds? Because he's supposed
rebounds.
To be. Okay, he's a gifted passer, though.
And 2.4 assists. So
2, 3, and 2?
2, 3, and 2.
Okay. I'll go 3.9. 3-1, 1-8.
It's almost a third of a way to a triple-double a game.
Rookie year, yeah. Expectation.
How many minutes does he play this year? Let's play
average,
that fun game. Just in total.
18 minutes a game.
You think he gets 18 minutes a game? Who's gone then? How do you parcel that, though?
Well, that means Rob Will and Aitner.
Well, Rob Will won't play one way or the other. Either he's traded or hurt.
That's true. But if Aiton's gone, there is going to be...
I just don't see how you trade Aiton. I don't see how that happens.
That's a lot, dude. That's a lot more than I was going to say.
Well, if he's,
Donovan Clingan last year's seventh overall pick played 19 minutes a game. Yeah. And I would argue for half the year it felt like he wasn't even in
the
lineup.
Well, if he's the Chinese Jokic, you can slide him to the four.
You think they have Clingan and Yang on the court at the same time? Twin Towers.
Anything's possible at this point.
Kevin Garnett, anything is possible.
People are making Kling Yang tweets.
So Kling
Yang, yeah, I like that.
4.3 points, because he's a good free throw shooter. He'll get fouled.
What was his average last year?
I have no idea.
Oh. Okay. I said that.
Joe told me he's a really good free throw shooter.
You're not watching the CBA in your off time over there?
No.
When do they start summer league play?
In about 2 weeks, or 3 weeks.
It's like right around the corner, isn't it?
Mid-July. We'll see. As soon as the draft's over, they'll get that
I mean, I'm seriously asking this. I know this is dumb because, like, Scoot was a really big deal and Shane was. Like there's all big deals, dude.
4.3 points.
Just in terms of what we're going to, like,
Chinese Jokic should be showing out a little bit.
Chinese Jokic, like, if you're Chinese Jokic, you better show out in summer league, right?
But, okay, can we also.
It doesn't mean anything because Quintel Woods was MVP. I grant you that.
No, it doesn't.
Where does this rank amongst the last 5 or 7 draft picks in terms of like the anticipation to be like, what has this guy got in summer league?
I mean, I don't know if it's as high as other players.
You don't think it's as high as other players?
It's not Scoot for me.
Really?
Well, can we rein something in here?
No, we can't.
One guy on one team said that, and every other pundit and execs that have chimed in anonymously have basically said, I don't know what's happening.
Chinese Jokic.
So, like, we're taking the one anonymous quote from a Nuggets guy.
Who would know Jokic well. So you know a Jokic when you see a Jokic.
We don't know if that guy was around when
Jokic
got
drafted.
Maybe he
was the guy that scouted Jokic. Maybe it's the scout that found Jokic and he said, this guy's the Chinese Jokic.
Well, then wouldn't they have tried to trade back into the draft to get another Jokic?
Maybe that's why the Blazers took him at 16, because they knew the Nuggets wanted double Jokic. Hmm.
A Jokic pick and roll would be pretty sweet.
Jokic screening for Jokic would be unstoppable.
It would.
Because Jokic also shot 42% from three last year.
The funny thing is, I remember
aware of that.
Is the exact same time last year thinking, I might have to book a trip to Vegas, watch Cooper Flagg in a Blazer uni.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, do I go for Chinese Jokic?
Chinese Jokic? I'm fascinated, man. I can't wait for Summer League. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I now can't wait for Summer
18
League.
18 minutes, that's...
Now, I don't know how many games he'll play.
Yeah, he's going to be in the G League.
So
I'm going to say it's a.
But I think once, 12. Whenever he's determined to be ready for NBA play,
I'll say 12.
I think he plays.
Let's answer some poll questions. If Yong Hansen is Chinese Jokic, will Donovan Clingan end up being Yusuf Nurkic? 54% of you say no.
Trading him out of here. Get out of here. We got too many of you.
Will Yong Hansen end up being a better player than DeAndre Ayton? 56% of you say no.
Oh, okay.
If the Blazers ran a lineup of Yong, Clingan, Ayton, Rob Will, and Duop Reith for 3 minutes, would be a plus or minus. 62% of you say minus.
Hey, you haters. 3 minutes ain't that long.
I asked yesterday, somebody tweeted me, it was my favorite tweet of the night. Somebody's like, hey, Dirt, how was this for worst case scenario? I asked on the show yesterday, what's your best case scenario, most likely scenario, and worst case scenario? Never thought this was going to happen.
I think I said trading is my best, and then I said my worst is them drafting a
drafting
center.
Drafting a center, yeah.
They did both.
Made your best and your worst.
Draft that for the open.
They drafted a guy I've never heard of before. Yeah. Well,
despite us all hating each other, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. We got through it. Summer league's right around the corner.
I had a dream about a basketball player I'd never heard of.
You did.
It was crazy.
He's in a dog crate, and he's going to be the next Chinese Jokic. He's going to lead us to titles. Let's go, baby.
Hell yeah. Yang bang.
If you missed the show, check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. At Turton Spragan at 1080 The Fan. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.